The Woman Who Pleases God, Faye Smart and Jean Young, an Emmaus Correspondence Course. The lesson we will consider from this book is Lesson 7, Women's Role in the Church, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 to 16. From a study of the Scriptures, three basic truths are evident. 1. Women and men are equal as far as position before God and spiritual privilege are concerned. 2. Equality of status does not involve identity of function and responsibility. Sexual differences remain. 3. The ministry of women is of great importance for the well-being of the church. Equal. The Apostle Paul, in spite of all the anti-feminist charges against him, exhibited the same attitude toward women as his Lord. He appreciated and joined the women's prayer group at Philippi, Acts chapter 16, verse 13, accepted Lydia's hospitality, and planted the first church in Europe in her home. He mentioned Euodias and Syntyche as co-laborers with him in Philippians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, and warmly commended Priscilla and Phoebe and other women for their much labor and help in the work of the Lord, Romans chapter 16. He stated very clearly the spiritual equality of men and women. Ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3, 26-28. Male and female, we have the same standing before God. Justified by faith, we have peace with God. Enjoy his gracious favor. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. But though equality is stated, the differences are not negated. The Jews remain Jews, and the Greeks were still Greeks. Maleness and femaleness were not altered. But different. The sexual differences were put there by God at creation and put there for his good purpose. God had different functions and responsibilities in mind for the man and for the woman. Both are important for the carrying out of his purposes. God, in his sovereignty, assigned each of his creatures to its position in the universe. He assigned man to a place of special responsibility and gave to woman a role complementary to man. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Superiority and inferiority were not involved. This was simply God's order and plan. Equality of status, but difference in function. We have noticed the Lord Jesus' acceptance and appreciation of women. Yet there were no women chosen among the 12 disciples. No women present at the institution of the Lord's Supper. No women missionaries or writers of the New Testament. No women leaders of the churches. It seems obvious that the place of leadership, of public prominence, was not meant for women. But that is not to say that the role of women is insignificant and of little value. Women's ministry. All believers, women as well as men, have received spiritual gifts for ministry in the body of Christ. All are important to the well-being of the local church. It is only as everyone ministers that the needs of the whole body are met. This is stated in Ephesians 4, verse 16. If we have no ministry in the church, it is not for lack of gift or opportunity, but because of our own inner barrenness. In a previous lesson, Lesson 6, something of the ministry of women in the New Testament is seen. The praise and worship, hospitality, teaching, good works, labor in the gospel, for which they were noted. Women were in the upper room prayer meeting with the disciples after the Lord's ascension, Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They were probably present in Acts 2 at the descent of the Spirit. Many women were saved in the early days of the church, Acts 5, verse 14. They were subjected to persecution just as the men were, Acts chapter 8, verse 3. They made valuable contributions to the expansions of Christianity in the first century. Gary Inrig says, "There is no gift which God has given to a woman that the church does not need and that cannot be actively and creatively used in a biblical way to glorify the Lord Jesus." What does he mean by used in a biblical way? We must determine from the whole tenor and teaching of the New Testament just how God wants us to serve him. The soldier may be highly trained and fully equipped, but he doesn't act on his own initiative. He waits for the direction of his commander. Someone has said, "For best results, obey instructions of Maker." We want to know the instructions of the head of the church, as he has revealed them to us in his word. It is not God's purpose to suppress the gifts he has given to women, but to lay out the framework in which they are to be used. Headship and submission. The principles of headship, submission, and authority are evident throughout the Bible, beginning with the order of creation. Adam was formed first, then Eve. The one formed first is to have the responsibility of authority. The one formed after is to follow and be in subjection. The man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. Women react defensively to the order of creation because men have wrongly assumed that priority means superiority and have acted in a domineering way. This was not God's intention. The Apostle Paul states the principle of headship very clearly. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. The head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Thus, there are three great relationships involving subordination. Such headship is not intended to downgrade anyone. Was Christ inferior because he was subordinate? The headship of God in relation to Christ was no threat to his personal deity. God has appointed to each creature a place in his ordered universe. Authority and submission are essential to that order. Since God has given to man the place of authority, we must accept the place he has given to women, with its responsibilities and privileges, and accept it with gladness, knowing that submission, in God's wise design, is for women the means of blessing and fulfillment. Women are to function uniquely, according to God's design. Are we willing to let God be God? The covered head. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 to 16, which teaches headship, indicates that this principle is to be manifested in the church by the wearing of a head covering, a veil, by the women. J.B. Nicholson writes, "When a man appears with head covered, or a woman with head uncovered, it is an implicit denial of the divine teaching regarding headship." He explains this by saying that man represents God and is the glory of God, that God's authority must be unchallenged and his glory must not be hid, that therefore a man's head must be uncovered as he fulfills his spiritual functions in the church. At the same time, the woman is the glory of the man, and this glory must not be manifested. So the woman is to be covered, that God alone may be glorified. Is the covering a woman's hair? Some say that it is. But we notice that a different word is used for covering in the original language in verse 15 relating to hair from the word used in verses 4 to 7 of a covering one could put on or off. The covering required in these verses is obviously not hair, or else only a bald man could function. When are women expected to wear a head covering? There is no general agreement on this, but it would seem to us that the head should be covered in a church gathering when men are present, and, I add, when prayer is offered. Was this requirement intended only to fit local circumstances of that day, or is it applicable to women today? Note the basis of Paul's arguments. Firstly, headship is God's arrangement, not man's. Chapter 11, verse 3. Secondly, it is based on creation order. It did not arise from local custom, either Jewish or Greek. Man was created first. The woman was created for the man. Chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. Therefore, this requirement is fundamental, unaltered by varying circumstances of place or time. Headship is an abiding principle, so the recognition and manifestation of submission is enjoined on us today if we are to please God. Rebecca took a veil and covered herself on meeting Isaac, Genesis 24, verses 65 and 67. This was a significant rite in marriage, indicating that the woman's husband was now her head. The head covering, veil or hat, does not carry the same significance of submission in today's culture, at least in the West. But in the absence of other means of expressing subjection, should not the Christian woman who wants to please the Lord be glad to show in this way her submission of heart to the Lord? God grant us the grace of submission, that we may show to men and to angels the meek and quiet spirit that is so precious to God.